Good morning. Griffin Marie here, and welcome to UBS's Top of the Morning podcast. It's Friday, so that means it's time for the week in review and preview. Specifically, today we'll be discussing the state of U.S. equity markets as earnings season gets underway, outlook for U.S. stocks on a sectoral basis, economic developments, and much more. So joining me on the line this morning to discuss these topics is Matt Torme, an associate equity strategist with the Chief Investment Office. So Matt, thanks so much for joining this morning, and welcome back to Top of the Morning.
Hey, good morning, Griffin. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, Matt, there were a lot of headlines this week, and markets were generally on a lower note. Can you recap for us the factors at play that drove these moves?
Yes. So this week, we started off by seeing strong gains on Monday, which was really driven by the big tech and growth names. But this was only to be followed by moves lower in the following 3 days. We saw a few major themes for the week, which included updates on the COVID-19 front, the start of earnings season, and a continued discussion about when we could receive another stimulus package. So starting with COVID-19 developments, on Monday night, Johnson & Johnson did announce that it would be pausing their COVID-19 vaccine trials after a patient in one of their studies had fallen ill. And on Tuesday, Eli Lilly made a similar announcement that they would be pausing their antibody trial due to a potential safety concern with their treatment. And although both developments are disappointing and markets responded negatively to the news on Tuesday, these types of setbacks aren't all that uncommon. And overall, we are still optimistic about vaccine progress as the timing has been encouraging, and we should hear from a few other phase three candidates in the coming weeks. We've also seen a rise in coronavirus cases throughout parts of the U.S., but a resurgence in Europe has some people believing the second wave has already begun overseas. Europe now accounts for about a third of new cases reported worldwide, and we're seeing some European countries institute new mitigation measures, including a curfew in Paris, and London is prohibiting households to mix with others beginning as soon as this weekend. Also, the third quarter earnings season did begin this week, which I know we'll discuss a little later, but although beats have been actually very impressive so far, we continue to see the macro dominate as investors may be focusing more on vaccine progress and uncertainty related to the election and stimulus. And finally, as I just mentioned, another big factor at play this week has been uncertainty around the next stimulus package, which we believe is more likely to be announced after the election.
Well, Matt, another notable headline this week was that third quarter earnings season officially kicked off with the banks reporting this week. Are there any notable takeaways, and can you remind us of CIO's expectations for quarter three earnings season?
Yeah, so we're expecting third quarter profits to decline by about 15 to 17%, which sequentially is actually an improvement from the 32% decline that we saw during the second quarter. So far, we've had about 12% of the S&P 500's market cap report, and roughly 86% of the companies have beaten sales and earnings expectations. Also, and just probably more impressively, aggregate beats are coming in around 33%. And just to put this into some perspective, historically, companies end up beating by about 3 to 4%. So you can see that the earnings recovery continues to be quite powerful in an uncertain COVID-19 environment. So just a few takeaways from some of the earlier reporters before we get into the banks. We do continue to see strength coming from the consumer, which has definitely benefited from the massive government support. Housing activity remains robust, and we've seen a pretty sharp bounce back in auto sales. Semiconductor companies have benefited from a ramp up in auto production, and industrial end markets appear to be improving. And while overall IT spending appears to be decelerating a bit, data points in PCs, smartphones, gaming, and data center have all been solid. And finally, some key takeaways from the bank earnings this week. Net interest income was expected to be disappointing, which it has been, but overall messaging has been that the third quarter was likely the trough, and the trajectory should improve from here as long as loan growth and interest rates pick up. Credit provisioning has been much lower than expected, and we even saw that JP Morgan released some of their reserves, which contributed to their large earnings beat. Fee revenues have been higher than expected on the back of strong performances in trading and capital markets, as well as strength in investment and asset management after a good quarter for markets. And lastly, the bank's regulatory capital ratios are improving, as they have been building capital because of their inability to do share repurchases right now.
Well, Matt, to build off of that, the equities team in the UBS Chief Investment Office recently made a few equity sector changes. Can you remind us what these changes were and where your team currently sees opportunities?
Of course. So earlier this week, we did make a few changes to our equity sector positioning by upgrading financials to moderately preferred and downgrading consumer staples to less preferred. So there are a few key drivers for our call to upgrade financials. First, we've seen bank earnings take a hit this year from low loss provisions and low interest rates. However, it's likely we've already seen the peak in low loss provisions, and as provisions decline and interest rates rise, as our fixed income team expects when the recovery broadens, bank earnings should rebound sharply. Second, relative valuations look very compelling compared to history, and while a potential Biden administration could tighten regulation, we believe it would be more targeted rather than broad-based across the sector. And lastly, as some of the upcoming uncertainties related to the election, stimulus, and a vaccine are all resolved, we believe the recovery has the ability to get back on track, which would come to the benefit of financials. And just to touch briefly on the downgrade of consumer staples, we believe the sector is unlikely to outperform in a recovery as profits rebound in more cyclical areas, which will attract more interest from investors. We also have moderately preferred views on the industrials, healthcare, and consumer discretionary sectors, so we believe there are opportunities in those areas as well. And finally, we think mid-caps are another great way to play the recovery, as they're more cyclical than large caps, but higher quality and less volatile than small caps, which limits potential downside risk in the case of any setbacks to the recovery.
Matt, appreciate your insights into positioning and equity markets going forward. Just to shift gears here, can you recap for us this week's notable macro data points?
Yeah, so we received a pretty diverse set of data points this week, so let's dive right into it. On Tuesday, we received the September reading for the NFIB Small Business Optimism Index, which returned to pre-pandemic levels. And it's important to note that following the release, their chief economist said that small businesses are seeing improvements in foot traffic and sales as the country continues to reopen, but some are still struggling to operate while navigating state and local restrictions and just the overall uncertainty that remains ahead with COVID-19. Later that day, we did receive the September reading for consumer prices, which rose 0.2% month over month, which was relatively in line with expectations. And the main driver of the increase was a significant increase in used car and truck prices. Turning to Wednesday, producer prices rose by 0.4% in September, which was slightly ahead of expectations and was driven by an increase in prices for final demand goods, excluding food and energy. On Thursday, initial jobless claims was a little disappointing as claims came in higher than expected, although continuing jobless claims did fall to a level below expectations, which was a little more positive. The Philadelphia Fed Manufacturing Index increased significantly after consensus was expecting a decrease in October, and the Empire State Manufacturing Index fell by more than expected in October, although increases in new orders, shipments, and employment were positive takeaways. And just today, this morning, we did receive the latest retail sales numbers for September, which came in much stronger than expectations. And later today, we'll also receive an update on industrial production and a preliminary October reading for the Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index.
Well, Matt, just by way of a final question here, what's taking place next week that investors should keep an eye on?
So next week's looking pretty busy on the economic and earnings calendars, but to start with what's on tap for the economic calendar, on Monday, we'll get an update on housing with the October reading for the NHAB Housing Market Index. Sticking with the housing theme, on Tuesday, we'll receive a preliminary reading for building permits in September, as well as housing starts. On Wednesday, the Fed's going to be publishing its Beige Book report, which will provide us with anecdotal information on current economic conditions across its different districts. On Thursday, we'll continue to keep an eye on initial and continuing jobless claims. We'll also see the September reading for existing home sales, and we'll get an update on the Kansas City Fed Manufacturing Index for October. And on Friday, we'll get a preliminary reading on market PMIs for October. Now, to turn over to the earnings calendar, next week's going to be a pretty busy week with roughly 22% of the S&P 500 market cap reporting. And some of the big names to pay attention to across the different industries include Procter & Gamble, Netflix, Lockheed Martin, Thermo Fisher, AT&T and Verizon, and Halliburton, just to name a few. And lastly, the final presidential debate is scheduled to take place next Thursday, so we'll be tuning in to watch as long as the debate actually does take place.
So Matt, certainly looks like a busy and exciting week next week. Appreciate you joining the program for now, and we look forward to having you back on Top of the Morning sometime soon.
Thanks, Griffin. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You as well, Matt. And again, I've been joined by Matt Tormey, an associate equity strategist with the UBS Chief Investment Office. And for UBS clients listening in, there are many publications from the Chief Investment Office available now. Please reach out to your financial advisor to receive a copy directly. Top of the Morning, we'll be back again for you Monday. So have a great weekend, everyone.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.